Welcome to the Scales of Truth. Tyson Harley here, still not fully back. A little bit, I don't even know if it's so much under the weather. Just went through just kind of an exhausting type of a situation for a day. I wasn't even steady on my feet. It was odd, but I was never really suffering from respiratory, you know, like coughing or kind of a congestion thing or anything like that. I was in an airport for way too long. And was just then when I got home, I was exhausted for about 36 hours. Just, it took me, you know, several steps to get up, you know, so I mean, okay, there's step one, how am I going to get up? Okay, step two of getting up, step three of getting up. That's not me. Me is, I decide I'm going to get up and I'm up. That's all that, whether I'm on the floor or whether I'm on a chair, I'm just up. I'm not saying I'm any kind of, you know, majorly in shape person. I'm not right now, but I'm always very agile and mobile. So anyway, if I don't sound like my normal, that's part of what's going on. And today what we're going to cover is I'm going to make a connection to political motivations behind this. First of all, we're going to mention something that is politically outrageous on its face and ridiculous on its face. And then secondly, we're going to say, okay, what are the speculative political motivations here? And then after we make those speculative motivations, I'm going to make my argument for something else being at play that you may not have thought about. So this is covered first by Uncovered DC. The article is exclusive. Federal Air Marshal whistleblowers report Tulsi Gabbard actively under surveillance via Quiet Skies program. This was posted August 4th, and this is supposedly their breaking story. Some federal air marshal whistleblowers have come forward to show that U.S. representative, former U.S. representative and presidential candidate Tulsi Gabbard is currently enrolled in the Quiet Skies program. Okay, enrolled in? What do you mean enrolled in? Did she sign up for it? Yeah, kind of some wordplay there, right? But it's a surveillance program that is about whether or not someone could be a domestic terrorist, a potential terrorist that calls for whether or not they need extra surveillance at the airport and during their flight. Now imagine this. This woman was a former U.S. representative, and I'm going to tie it back. I'm going to tie it back because there is something bigger going on, and I try to connect dots. But then I don't want to always just connect the obvious dots where you're like, well, now that you, there is this and there's value to this. There's, okay, he connected some dots that are obvious once he said it, but I may not have thought about it on my own. So I am glad that he brought it up. And then sometimes it's like, oh, no. I wouldn't have thought of that in a while. So, yeah. Once he says the obvious thing, that's one thing, but then he makes another connection. Oh, good point. So Tulsi Gabbard, a former presidential candidate, actually doing pretty well in 2020. Maybe you can foresee where I'm going to go with this. Doing pretty well in 2020 until. So what is this program? Well, it's supposedly to, you know, protect traveling Americans from suspected domestic terrorists. And the whistleblowers provided some data, and I think this article has some of it attached, including a screenshot of here she is, here's what she looks like. They first shared their information with Sonia Labasco, the executive director of the Air Marshal National Council, the AMNC, a national advocacy group for the federal air marshals, FAMs. And at least one of the whistleblowers is ready to go on record with pertinent documentation. So what Labasco shared then from them was that Gabbard is unaware that she has two explosive detection canine teams, one transportation security specialist in explosives, and one plainclothes TSA supervisor, and three federal air marshals on every flight she boards.
Now, whether or not they have that exactly right, you can go look. But the point is, that's a lot of people being focused on one person. How do you get on the watch list? And you better be pretty darn sure. And if anybody's an American and has shown some ability to work through the system, like try to be a representative, is that the type of person that's going to be feel so disenfranchised that they're going to do something like a terrorist act? No, not typically. So I'm going to repeat. Lobosco, and this is the executive director of the Air Marshal National Council, so you'd think she'd know what she was talking about, but who knows, maybe she's off on the details. That seems like a lot of people, but it could be true. Two explosive detection canine teams, one transportation security specialist in explosives, one plainclothes TSA supervisor, and three federal air marshals on every flight she boards. I think what they mean by that is that's how many are assigned to her. Maybe it may not be on every flight. It's that if she takes a flight, these are the people that are involved. Like, I doubt that the canine teams come on board, for instance. But that's who's involved because of her being on the list. Two canine teams. One transportation security specialist specializing in explosives. One plainclothes TSA supervisor. Three federal air marshals. And so I think that the end of the sentence was what on every flight. The rest of them are involved due to her being on the list, but it's just the three federal air marshals on every flight. And so then from there, Lobosco and AMNC President David Londo have repeatedly testified on behalf of the federal air marshals at the FAMS. They have written countless letters concerning the classification of innocent Americans as domestic terrorists to the Committee on Homeland Security, blah, blah, blah. Lobosco believes the TSA and Homeland Security are violating citizens' constitutional rights in a big domestic surveillance grab that seems to be targeting conservatives, including Uncover DC broke a story in November of last year, November 2023, where an infant son was put on the program, enrolled in the program. An infant son because the father attended the January 6th Capitol protests. Another January 6th attendee who served 20 years with an unblemished service is also on the list. So is Christine Crowder, who was a wife of an active air marshal. She was in D.C. on January 6th, but wasn't near the protests. So yes, they are enrolled without their knowledge, and teams are assigned following and tracking them from when they enter the airport and then on all their flights in transit until they reach their destination. They usually have a quad SSSS on the bottom right-hand corner of their boarding passes, but not always. They're often flagged for extra searches, frequently so lengthy that they miss their flights. And here's first kicker and then second kicker. First of all, immediately alarm should be going off. There's a presidential candidate from 2020, someone that high ranking is on this list. You have to go, okay, unfortunately, we are now so politicized, we have allowed people to turn our enforcement agencies into a politically weaponized system. And because we have, it is politically weaponized. And therefore, why did this happen? What could be the rationale? All right, well, guess what? According to the air marshals, according to Lobosco, Gabbard's enrollment is likely politically motivated because air marshals were first assigned to Gabbard on July 23rd, the day after she criticized Kamala Harris, Biden, and the national security state in an interview with Laura Ingraham. That's political. You have to be. I know some of you, like, you're not remembering the America we grew up in. The America we grew up in meant that our society is just and doesn't treat people differently based on their politics. And certainly our enforcement agencies don't. Yet, here we are. She gets on the list the day after. At least that's the first time they were used. It says air marshals were first assigned on July 23rd, a day after she criticized Kamala Harris, Biden, and the national security state in an interview with Laura Ingraham. FAMs were mobilized on July 24th and assigned to their first flight with her on July 25th. So supposedly she has enough detail to know it's not that Gabbard barely flies and that maybe, you know, Gabbard was on the list for a year or even a month or two. It's supposedly that, hey, they were mobilized and assigned to her their first flight with her on July 25th. Pardon me. Gabbard posted the interview, and this is her paraphrase. Kamala Harris is not knowledgeable or strong enough to stand up to potential adversaries, or just as importantly, the unelected warmongers, i.e. the military-industrial complex, which profits from war, and the national security state, which uses these wars as a pretext to further... I might have to wait on that. It's coming up. Give me a second. I thought it would expand. National security state, which uses these wars as pretext to further clamp down on our freedom, like Biden, she will simply be their puppet. We need a commander-in-chief strong enough to take charge. Trump will not be anyone's puppet. That's why the deep state will do everything possible to keep him out of Oval Office. So now we have that. And I'm going to mention one other thing that was interesting that I saw lately. And it was either a Twitter post by maybe the Democratic National Committee, something like that. You can go find it. And behind it, it said Michelle on it. So it shows Kamala. And behind it, a bunch of pictures with Michelle. And someone is speculating, is this signaling, you know, by the Democratic Party guys, Obama's behind the scenes, just like he was before. She's a puppet. Of course she's a puppet. She doesn't have the academic rigor, the academic discipline. Reports say she is a horrible person to work with because she's insecure, but she also doesn't have the academic rigor to be studied up enough so that she doesn't need to be secure. And then she's inauthentic, just like Hillary, to her staff. And then she's, and people have said this, but I'm going to repeat this. I don't care if she's purple. Okay, but as soon as we start to bring in it's relevant what race you are, as opposed to whether your argument makes sense, that was the beginning of the end, but we're there. But more importantly, as soon as you do bring it in, then it becomes relevant whether someone is being authentic with that or whether they're just pandering. If I were a black voter, I would be furious because I'm furious right now about it when I hear it. And I'm just a white dude. J-A-W-D. I'm jawed. Just a white dude. I'm furious by the fact that, and y'all are going to win us, and y'all are going to get us back there in 2024. In front of a black audience, she drops into a different dialect and way of speaking than in front of a different audience. You can say that's catering to the crowd. And I say, if you don't know what you are enough to speak the same way in front of a in front of two different audiences, then you don't know what you are enough to be president. You don't know what you are enough to be independent when you get there. Authenticity is being the same person. Now, do you pick different subjects? Sure. Maybe you pick different subjects. Maybe you try to approach it slightly different based on your audience. But you don't change your voice delivery. And so if you're going to make race and background a part of this, I'm going to get back to my other big dot connector soon enough, because that wasn't it. That's a small dot connection. If you are not genuine and authentic in what your identity actually is, to simply speak in the same way, in the same cadence, in front of anybody you're in front of, then you're trouble. you're trouble. And the other thing, too, is that I'm going to say it. I don't care. You know, Trump has to worry about this. I don't. Hey, you know, and the funny thing is, black political commentators have seen this. Now, they don't get a bunch of views because they're not on CNN. You know, but they're laughing. They're pointing at Kamala's, well, she's half black because she's got a Jamaican father. And again, this is just because you make race so important about everything. And then we have to talk about the authenticity and the math. Because her mother is Indian. I don't know if she's part Indian and part Chinese. I have no idea. But that much I'll give her. Okay, her dad would have been born in the 40s, most likely. You know, maybe the 50s. Maybe the 30s. Probably the 40s. And he's half white. Donald J. Harris, yeah, who's your daddy? Donald J.'s your daddy. Donald J.'s your daddy. Kamala Harris's dad is named Donald J. Harris, by the way, if you didn't know that. Yes, isn't that incredible? So, who's your daddy? Donald J.'s your daddy is a very European-looking Jamaican. So, while we're bullshitting, she's probably only as much black as she is white. Because he's definitely mixed. And probably at that time in Jamaica, the time you get mixed is when you get mixed. And it's probably not generations old. It's possible. But if anybody wanted to do the basic research, I'm not going to be able to find it easy because they're... It might be on Reddit. Reddit is useless compared to what it used to be, but they still allow some... Remember, the definition of fake democracy is to allow vigorous discussion among a very narrow topic of... a very narrow area of topics. And so, vigorous discussion until you can't discuss that. So there might be a Reddit out there. But certainly just from his face, you can see, okay, not a regular Jamaican guy, and it's not because he's albino. Those are European-type features. One of his parents was not Jamaican. So in reality, she's probably just as much black as she is white. That's the hilarious thing. It's probably half Indian, half white, half black. Now, we take that aside, go back to our dot connection of would this administration do that type of thing for purposes of manipulation and just terrorizing opponents who have, and I'm going to connect the other dot soon enough, who have opposed them, who have said something strongly. Why wouldn't they? The Supreme Court did not knock down the idea that they couldn't coordinate with social media giants to censor. So why wouldn't they think they can do whatever they want? A, B, and this is the bigger dot connection. Let's talk about Tulsi Gabbard. What happened in 2020? In 2020, she was going along pretty strong, I believe. Remember all the Russian interference garbage. Now, there may have been Russian interference, but that wasn't one-tenth of the interference, at most. There's so much other interference, Secret Empires or whatever that book was that I've read before, told you about many, many a time, where you can enrich a family member and it's considered not wrong. You can influence an office holder by enriching their family and their friends, and it's a loophole that can mean, you know, billions, because you just influenced an office holder. And, you know, Biden and others were among those that are unduly enriched by foreign powers, and that we know were unduly enriched. It's the same stuff as the Biden situation. Hunter Biden situation. We've known about that for decades. So, but nonetheless, in 2020, Russian as interference in our election. Blah. Tulsi Gabbard's going along being a somewhat strong candidate. Has done decently. And then who the heck comes out of the woodwork? I mean, she was a candidate, too. Or was she a candidate in 2020? Which, did she even try in 2020? I don't think she did. Hillary comes out of the woodwork and says, hey, so, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying, I'm just saying, but she has a feeling of a Russian agent to me. Talking about Tulsi Gabbard. And Tulsi went, why don't you go yourself? Because that enraged her, as it should. I've said many a time that the problem with Republicans is they try to be too gentlemanly on the campaign trail. But there was something to it. Like in the early 90s, I'm first kind of politically aware, and I go, everybody can see all the corruption in the background of Bill Clinton. It's coming at you raw from Arkansas. It's not hard to see. It's there. Why wouldn't you bring it up? Well, now it makes better sense because Mina was CIA drug running. And guess who was a CIA director? Literally the guy that he was running against, George Bush Sr., was a CIA director. So he didn't want to bring up all that Clinton Chronicles stuff because he was knee-deep in it. The Bushes are a very corrupt family. But we still thought, well, it's just because they're being gentlemanly. Why are they being so gentlemanly? And now we have a candidate blaming, I mean, saying another candidate is probably a Russian agent. And so Tulsi Gabbard, who is now on a watch list, is the same person who, after 2020, sued for defamation Hillary Clinton. This is the big dot connection here. HRC, there's not a grimy, sleazy lever that she does not want to pull on. And it can be to attain political power, but she has now seen, I am never going to be punished for anything, ever. And so if I want to put something on someone on a watch list just so they get to, yeah, guess why you have 5 of 10. If you ever are feeling suspicious, like you have extra people following you, yeah, I want it to be that psychological turmoil of that wench. Is Hillary behind this? Yeah, I am. What you want. That is how vindictive Hillary is, and that's the big dot connection. When you think she's not still in it, you have closed the book way too early on that. She is in it. Tulsi Gabbard, a presidential candidate, a former presidential candidate, a former U.S. representative, stopped her bid as a Democrat because Hillary Clinton ruined it with her Russian election interference, just accusing somebody like it's no big deal to accuse somebody of being a Russian agent with nothing behind it at all. And so Tulsi ran independent and she got, which one is it? Red-pilled? She's like, okay, now I see what my party's about, and it's bullshit. So I'm going to run independent now. I see what's going on, and it's amazing that anybody couldn't see what's going on because the same Hillary Clinton in 2016 made sure Bernie didn't win the primary by working on the inside to make sure he didn't, and Seth Rich died as a result, a young idealistic Democrat who was 23, 24, had a family. But hey, I don't know that this seems right. And you're dead. And Hillary doesn't get in trouble for that. Doesn't get in trouble for her de facto this for that. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. The phrase is escaping me at the moment. Deals at the Secretary of State where all of a sudden, also besides those deals, the uranium deal and everything else, then former President Bill Clinton suddenly gets 3 times what his fee normally was overseas, and then it goes back to normal after She's out of office and he gets $400,000 to speak on one occasion. $400,000 for showing up and giving a speech. How much value did that bring? Oh, it was influence peddling by the fee itself. Whenever you think Hillary's not behind the scenes, you're underestimating the level of her evil. And the thing is, now we've had a puppet president for 4 years. And they're going to have a puppet president again, because Kamala's going to owe this all to Hillary and to Obama. Because they could have just as easily said, nope, it's going to be the primary. We'll see what happens in the primary. I don't know what to tell you. But we can't, and I even think it's still true that she's just using Biden's money. That money wasn't pledged to her as the head of the ticket. The money was pledged to Biden as the head of the ticket. Now, I'm sure they made their argument, but one could say she shouldn't have access to that money. The Trump campaign is trying to say that. But of course, we have lawfare, and laws don't always get decided in the way they should. I'm sorry, cases. And so you win some, you lose some, when it should have been 100% batting average, 1,000 batting average, because you find the right case and they come up with it. I've always said precedent law is the downfall of a constitutional republic, because you start to chip away through some ridiculous rationale that is not what the document itself says, nor what it intended. Precedent law is the downfall of a constitutionally based country, of a law-based country with a founding document that laid down its foundational principles. All right, let's see if I see anything here else I want to talk about on Uncover DC. But yeah, it's on Uncover DC. Again, then, exclusive federal air marshal whistleblowers report Tulsi Gabbard actively under surveillance via Quiet Skies program. It's a great work on their part. And let's see here if there's anything else I want to mention. We talked about her saying what she said, and it's true. Kamala is not a serious person. And so she is not a good person to go, yeah, well, I hear you, but the buck stops here. She is not a studious person. She is not someone who takes things seriously. She doesn't even understand that when you have someone where the argument is pretty well made that, you know, this person's actually innocent, that you need to drop your pride and look at the information. And she wouldn't look at one of the Innocence Project cases, which, as I understand, was basically open and shut. But that said, I have not looked into that case. Maybe I'll do that. Yeah, she became independent in 2022. But in 2020, she became, you know, critical of interventionism and endless wars. And that's when Hillary, like I said, suggested she was a, quote, Russian asset. And then that was during the 2020 campaign. And Hillary, just doing what she does, manipulate primaries, says, okay, a possible opposition? Well, if I say it to all of my little leashed and collared Democratic voters, they'll believe it. So I just get to drop Russian asset out there. And then in January of 2020, the defamation lawsuit occurred, which has since been settled. So hopefully Tulsi got a few million out of that. So Lobosco and Londo have been trying to work to shut down the program. But their primary mission is just to restore federal air marshals to their rightful place as law enforcement, not political pawns. So that's what I got for you. That the idea of a former presidential candidate who's still a significant political commentator and political figure, that they are treated as though they're some disenfranchised person who has no way to get out their political frustration with the system. They're just some Indian kid, or they're just some Muslim kid, or they're some young black kid, or God forbid, they're a white kid who's, you know, growing up on... I'm talking about the stereotype here in all those cases. You know, they've grown up on, on racism. You know, that's not her. She has seen the success of America and been a part of it. She's not the type of person you put on that list. So how could it be that she would warrant that type of coverage whenever she flies? In my opinion, it's so... Who knows whether Kamala even knows? It could be Obama behind the scenes, or just Hillary, Obama going, if you say so, Hillary, I mean, you're the woman. So do it if you want. I'm not going to stop you. But it does seems a little egregious. It does seem a little bit catty to put her on a watch list. Yeah, I want that wench looking over her shoulder. I want that wench wondering if I have the power to do that. And then going, it's not. See, here's the thing. It's not at this point, because again, she's been blue-pilled. Whether Tulsi believes. Would Hillary get away with this? Yes, of course. She's gotten away with everything. You don't need to convince any of us of that, Hillary. You're going to get away with everything. You gotten away with murder, and you're going to get away with whatever you want. I don't know who you have, what you have on everybody. I don't know if you got a hold of the Epstein files, but you get away with everything. Between people not wanting to cover it, between blackmail, and between you being a Democrat, so you're Teflon. But it's more... For Tulsi, would she do it again in this case? Seriously, are you ever, do you ever see yourself as too much, Hillary? Do you ever just go, wow, is this where I am now? And the answer is no, she does not. She does not. And the lessons they've learned from, hey, as long as we don't say specifically who we're going to censor, we can apparently use social media platforms all day to deputize them, to harass our political opponents, and to muffle them. As long as we just don't say what the names are. How about them apples? Can you believe the Supreme Court? As long as we don't tell the media platforms straight on the paper who it is to censor... Then we can censor whatever point of view we want, because it won't be, quote, traceable to the individual plaintiffs at hand. Even though I believe that was a class action lawsuit, so I don't know how that traceability argument worked, but it did. Insane. Absolutely insane. Hillary's like, yeah, I can get away with it, but do I want to do it today? Yep, I want to do it. I mean, you cannot underestimate the level of evil that Hillary Clinton is. And yes, I've seen some of the worst stuff. I went, do I cover that? Do I believe it? Yeah, kind of. I kind of believe that the soul that has done all these other things, like democratic process, schmemocratic process. And the funny thing is, you got to remember, Hillary, it's just not about, we can't let the Republicans win. It's, no, we can't let Bernie win, and so he's not going to. I will cooperate, and we will not let Bernie win. And then come this election, it's that, nope, we're not going to have a Democratic primary. After all, there's no question. Well, isn't there a question? Because we all know he's become a senile old F. No, there's no question. So we don't need a primary. Well, why would that be? Because what if he's worse in 6 months? Oh, there's a decent chance he will be. But if so, we'll just rig it then too. We'll just pick somebody specifically. And we don't have to worry about all that rigmarole of what Democratic voters actually want. There's a lot of people that hit the level of the worst. She's one of them. We'll just say that.
Okay, guys, thanks for listening to Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley.